You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. Whenever there's a story of racially charged violence that consumes the news cycle, parents have a challenge. How much do you tell your child? How do you answer your child's questions? Do you wade right into what happened and why? Or do you divert them, try to give them something different to think about? For parents of color, these challenges come up every time there's an act of police-related violence on black males or violence aimed at police officers just doing their jobs, such as we saw in Dallas or Baton Rouge. Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris is a pediatrician and the Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholar at the University of Michigan School of Medicine. She's doing research on the impact that racism and these racially charged news stories can have on children. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
It is worth starting our conversation by noticing right out of the gate, you are a pediatrician, but you're a mom, and your son was born in 2012, right about the time Trayvon Martin was killed.
Yes.
That has to inform you in a way that you can't even describe.
Totally. Thank you for asking me that, because even today, just I'm shaking thinking about that. At a time where I was pregnant and I should have been ecstatic, mm-hmm. I was fearful. I was so scared to bring a black male into the world because I felt like the world wasn't really ready for him. And then after the deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, those feelings resurfaced, and I couldn't believe I was in that place again. Mm. It didn't matter how educated I was. It took me back there, and I was scared.
And you're very concerned about the effects of vicarious racism on young people like your son, other young people. What is that, and why is it so worrisome?
That's a great question, because vicarious racism is racism experienced through the eyes of someone else. So someone else experiencing the racism directly can still be transmitted to other people, even if they're not in that close proximity. So it's feeling those effects, even though you yourself weren't directly mm-hmm. discriminated against. And that's why it's so problematic, because even if a kid is in Kansas and sees those events on the news, that could still affect him or her. And that's why I'm so worried.
What kind of effects?
It can cause post-traumatic stress disorder or acute stress disorder. So kids being fearful to go outside, to take out the trash, because they think they'll be next, or not able to sleep or eat or continue in their daily lives as we know it. And that's why that's so insidious, because it's not them directly, but they're still having the same traumatic effects as if it were.
And there really has not been much research done to really look at the impact that racism and these police shootings are having on children, and that's something you want to do. Tell us what your goal is going to be with the research you're going to do.
Exactly. The biggest parallels we can draw is to what we've seen at 9/11.
Yes.
There were a lot of studies done after 9/11 looking at that very thing. We learned that children and some mothers that weren't directly exposed to the events of 9/11 were still having those stress reactions. And that is important, because trauma finds its way into our minds and our bodies, and we need to find ways to help children recover from those. So for me, it's important to study that. In my research, I want to know more about how those events can affect children and their caregivers, and more importantly, what can we do to reduce and prevent any negative impact? And my wish is that none of us have to be exposed to racism. Well, none of us live in a society that racism is prevalent. But in the meantime, we need to figure out ways to help our children recover from those negative events.
And when you think of young minds that are just sponges at that point, I think I'm hearing you say what they experience and feel now, let's say as a 5 or 6 year old, they may not realize when they're 46 and they have, you know, ways of behaving and reacting that it comes dates back to this.
Right. And let me tell you, so I've never had any bad experiences with the police at all. But when shortly after I moved to Ann Arbor, I was in the car with someone who was driving really fast and got pulled over. And I was just in the passenger mm-hmm. seat. And as soon as the police officer pulled me over, I started shaking. I was like, oh my gosh, this could be the last day that I live. And for me, who's never had a bad experience with the police, very well educated, lives in a nice neighborhood, it didn't matter. At that moment, I was scared. And so I think that's why it's important for us to be talking about this today.
It's almost like head versus heart
yeah.
at war here. It is truly amazing what kids absorb from the world around them. Can you tell us how your son gave you a special window into what parents might be facing?
Yes, thank you. I was walking with my son down the street. It was actually the day that my article was published.
In theconversation.com.
In theconversation.com. And we were walking together and we saw a baby bird on the ground. And the baby bird was dead. And my son said, "Mommy, what happened to the baby bird?" And in a clumsy way, I tried to explain to a 3.5-year-old the circle of life and how the baby bird died. And, you know, I wasn't doing that great of a job of it, but I was trying. But then he asked me, "Did the police kill it?" And I was taken aback. It really surprised me because even though I'm thinking about this issue so much and researching it, we don't expose him. My husband and I try really hard to not talk about that in front of him, to not let him watch any TV or media at all about that. But he was still exposed somehow. So what I really want your listeners to know is that even when you don't think children are exposed to racism, they may be. And it's our job to protect them as parents and caregivers.
And as you say, you try to shield your little one from TV. But for the kids out there, when you think of TV and social media, it has really impacted this issue in a way that perhaps wasn't as prevalent when I know when I was growing up. There was no social media. We didn't have cable television. Exactly. News was on for a half an hour after dinner.
Exactly. So for kids my son's age, 3.5-year-olds, they should not be seeing TV at all about this. You really should try hard to protect them. But you're absolutely right. The older kids that are acutely aware of what's going on, who are watching the news, you need to sit right there with them so that as they're seeing those images and hearing the stories, you can help them process it right then and there. Social media is more difficult because through social media, these stories can live on forever, even months and years after these things are happened. They're tweeted and retweeted and shared and liked and commented on. So I would say to check back in, you know, frequently with your child and say, "Hey, are other kids at school talking about this? What are your friends saying?" So that you're able to keep your finger on what's happening and what your child is experiencing.
Now, do you bring these conversations into your practice as a pediatrician?
Yes, I really try. And honestly, parents ask me, "How do I talk to my kid about this?" It's just kind of like other uncomfortable topics. How do you do that? And how do you broach that conversation? So if I'm concerned that, you know, a parent is not really addressing those issues that the kid is facing, I'll say, "Hey, have you talked to your child about that? Or what do you think? How have you broached that topic?" And so that usually creates a conversation. But generally, parents will ask me.
Now, I'm interested. You're clearly having these conversations with parents of color.
Yeah.
What about white parents?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. And I can't say for all parents what those conversations should be. But I think exposure on any level, no matter where you live, no matter what you look like, no matter how old you are, kids are getting those experiences. So I think whether you're a parent of a white child or a parent of a child of color, those conversations still need to happen. So I would say, you know, as a pediatrician myself, I say, you know, we need to be talking about this. It's uncomfortable. It's not going to make us feel great doing it, but it's so important.
What do you hope will come ultimately out of the kind of research you're going to do, looking at the effects of racism on youngsters?
Well, there are four key things that I want parents to walk away from this article, from this news piece, from my research. And the four things really are to seek the mental health care that they may need because they may personally be affected by it. And you can't help your kids until you help yourself. So being supportive to your friends and colleagues that may be going through this too, they're having a tough time processing it, making sure they go and get the mental health care that they need. But two, also, again, talking to our kids and making sure we know what they know and we can dispel the rumors and alleviate some of those heightened fears. We need to be on the pulse of what's happening with our children. And the third thing is if our children are having disruptive things in their lives, such as these events, we need to talk to our pediatricians, our primary care providers, our mental health providers to help us. We can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. We need to share this with our medical providers so that they know what's going on too. And the last thing is to limit the exposure as much as we possibly can. I know it's so hard, but we have got to try to do it.
I know we heard people say it after 9/11, turn off the TV. Over and over when you'd see the planes hit the towers.
Exactly.
Your 3-year-old doesn't realize that that's a tape replay.
Right. Exactly. They think it's happening again and again.
Great advice. Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris, pediatrician and the Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholar at the University of Michigan School of Medicine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.